Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Hello, hello, beautiful soul. I pray that you are doing well. Welcome to another edition of Ask the Author. I am Dr. Andrea Pennington, and I'm excited to be talking to you today about a subject that not a lot of people feel comfortable talking about, but we must, and that is suicide. As you probably are aware, in 2020 alone, the rates of suicide have climbed astronomically. I was speaking with a friend of mine just last week who said she was counseling some parents who had just lost their child to suicide. The level of stress and anxiety that has come on as a result of the pandemic is incredible. Now, the reality is, for many of us, we may find that the stress and anxiety we feel is out of proportion to just what's going on in the world. There are many of us who have experienced things in childhood that have actually tweaked our nervous system and our brain, making us more sensitive to further things down the line. What I'm talking about are ACEs. You've probably heard me say this, A-C-E, these adverse childhood experiences. I'm talking about not just the big bad traumas that we usually think of, like being abused or seeing someone be abused or, you know, wartime kinds of trauma. But we're also talking about if you grew up in a family where there was drug abuse, or a parent or caregiver was depressed, or you moved around a lot, or you were bullied. Now, if you go to innatevitality.com, you can take the ACE quiz totally free and find out what your ACE score is. You can also do this for someone else. So for example, if you're worried that a young person in your life might be kind of tipping up on that ACE scale, you can answer the questions as if you were that young person in your life. And the reason that this is important is because for many of us, we don't show signs of depression. We don't show what's really going on with us. A lot of us, myself included, are able to function even if we are depressed. And in my case, many people were surprised to find out that my ACE score is 4, which of course, in hindsight, now I can understand why I had an increased risk of the depression and anxiety that I lived with, but there are a whole host of other conditions that are tied to your ACE score. My guest today has recently given a TEDx, and in this TED talk, I will let you watch it. It's gripping because she brings up some startling statistics around suicide. But fortunately, she has a solution, something that each of us can take to heart and put into practice today to help bring down these startling statistics around suicide. Thank you so much for joining me for this important conversation.
Same here. Thank you so much for having me, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Well, I know that this is a subject that is near and dear to your heart. You are a big advocate for, you know, having these painful conversations, which is actually better than them being later. Meaning, if we have these painful conversations, we might actually be able to connect with young people, our teenagers, before they do something drastic. So congratulations on your new TED Talk. That was a really powerful opening. I have to give it to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think while I was listening to your intro, I already took a few notes. I had to put on my elderly people's glasses so I can read it. So three things you mentioned: the suicide rates in 2020, the fact that I'm a suicide prevention advocate or suicide activist. So he's one of the other. And the people, the teenagers think I'm a suicide prevention activist. And no, it's advocate. But it makes sense because, like you said, the number one reason why we don't talk about it is the number one reason we don't do many things, and that's fear. And fear, as you know, is false evidence that appears real. Sadly, yesterday we had a 12-year-old girl in the UK who killed herself. That was the only time that her mom made an announcement in the group that we're in. And they were like, oh, check with so-and-so. I said, well, checking with me is not now. In fact, checking with me is not even when there's a crisis. I will not be able to do anything when there's a crisis. I have to meet your child when the going is good. If there's even one iota of good, I need to meet your child then. There's no use me meeting your child when they're stressed out or when there's a big crisis or when there's a fight going on. I can't connect with them. Nobody can connect with them. And so the biggest concern that I have is a lot of people hear my message. Enough people know that I'm out there, but many of them don't want to do anything about it until at 2 o'clock in the night, they're calling me because there's a crisis. And so that's the biggest problem I've observed. That's the biggest problem I've observed. So,
well, I like what you said in your TEDx, and you are like the queen of acronyms. But I love the talk acronym. So walk us through this, because I love what you said. Most people, and this is true for adults as well, if you see someone who's depressed and you think, are they suicidal? Maybe they're suicidal, but I don't want to ask because I don't want to push them to commit suicide. But what you say is that it's actually the opposite.
It is abso-freaking-lutely the opposite, especially with children, especially with teenagers. Yes, they usually act like they don't love you. They usually act like they don't like you. But you were the same when you were a teenager. You didn't act like you love your mama. And my biggest phrase for parents is, remember your teen years. If you just remember your teen years, that your mother thought your haircut was out the door also. Your mother thought you were only being influenced by your friends. Your parents all thought you were cuckoo. And this is a true statement. Every generation thinks that. But if you just go back and realize that, talking to somebody will get the job done. And so it was very easy for me to come up with that acronym TALK. And so T stands for tuning in to the right radio frequency of your child, which basically means know your child. I have three sons, three different human beings, and I have to know each one. I know when each one is distressed or whatever signs they're going to give me that all is not well. And so the T is to tune into your child. And why did I use TALK? Because the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention says TALK saves lives is one of their hashtags. Mm-hmm. The second hashtag is silence kills. So it doesn't get any better than that. So let's keep talking about it. Talking opens the door. Talking allows the child to come in. And even if they don't come in, they hear you.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to tune in to your child's radio frequency, your social media platform, or one of their friends, whatever tuning in means to you. It could be their friends. It could be their classmates. It could be their teachers. It could be their siblings. It could be your spouse. Whatever it takes for you to tune into that child, do it. It's usually not very hard. And then if you're
so, wait. I want to before we move on to the A in TALK.
Yes.
That
yes.
Tuning in. You're a pediatrician. I started off my career as a pediatrician. And one of the things that we heard all the time is a parent will say, I try to talk to them, and the teenager just responds in one word.
Yeah, no,
So when you talk about tuning in, can you give parents some other tips? How can you tune into the frequency of your teen if they're not willing to really talk much? I mean, they're emitting a frequency, but they're not really receiving or giving two-way communication.
I love that question. The truth is, that is how teenagers are. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is the thought behind you saying they're responding in monosyllables? That's what teenagers do. They respond in monosyllables versus not respond at all,
okay,
which is what you don't want. And then That same monosyllabic child to the parent is talkative with their peers. So you have to know the time, the when. The when is critical. And more importantly than the when is the how. If your child, for instance, and I love this question because I teach a class on communicating with your teen. If your child, for instance, let's just use the best example is I have a 16-year-old son. Maybe their room is messed up. On Saturdays is cleaning day. Now, if my 16-year-old gives me the cleaning day on Saturday, I ought to take that because that's the rule in the house. However, as the week goes by, if his room gets messy and I see his dead in the middle of a video game, I see that because I walk in and I'm the stronger energy in the room. Which do you think is better? Telling your child during a video game that they are very, very fully engaged in, or a phone call or text, whatever it is, your daughter, which is better? Telling them during the video game, stop that video game right now and clean up your room versus, son, I see you're in a game. When you're done with your game, can you do me a favor and clean up your room? Which do you think is going to, you're going to get a mom or whatever, and then they shut down. I mean, it's the how. I mean, honestly, we all parents, everybody wants everything right now. But I tell him, and I've gotten so much better. I just say, you know what, son, I see you're playing a game. When you're done, could you come to the kitchen for a second? Nothing except a fire is an emergency. I also teach a class about yelling. And the only time you should raise your voice is when there is imminent danger.
Yeah.
So learn to use a talking voice so your child responds to your talking voice. And even put in a smile. Son, this is my third time telling you to clean your room. When I come in here again, if your room is still messy, I'm going to clean it for you. Right? First of all, your child's like, oh my God, she's smiling. What's wrong? Right? But second of all, you've given them two options, one of which you control, one of which they control. And when I tell my child, when I come into the room again in about 5 minutes, if your room is not clean, I'm going to clean it for you. How many teenagers want you to clean their room for them? As an example, you're never going to have to clean it because your child is not going to want you to clean it. So don't worry about, well, what if? No. Again, check your thoughts at the door. Your thoughts create your reality. Doc, you're a coach. You know this. And so the energy you bring into the situation gives you that energy back. Son, I see you're in the video game. When you're done playing this round, can you clean up your room? It's really messy. That's all you got to say.
Yeah, got it.
Or they will say, okay, mom, I got about 30 minutes. There you got a full sentence. Versus, you need to stop that video game right now. The energy, you're going to, enough said, right?
So. Well, we've got to get through all of the acronyms. So that's excellent. The first T in talk is tune into the frequency of the young one in your world. Now take us to the A in talk.
And so A means ask the right questions. And then emphasis on the word right. Mm. Not even maybe the way you ask it, which is also, of course, important, like we just saw with the T, but what you ask, the words you say. If you have been chosen and you're lucky enough that your child tells you, mom, I'm really sad. I don't know if I want to live anymore. Mm-hmm. Or if they drop hints, because 4 out of 5 kids who attempt suicide leave a sign. Mm. 4 out of 5, because nobody wants to say 5 out of 5, but I would even argue that 5 out of 5. And I say this because everyone who has attempted suicide and did not die will tell you that at the moment when they jumped, they regretted it. Even before they jumped, they didn't really want to die. Hmm. Mr. Kevin Hines is famous for jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge and surviving. And one of the things he talks about is that same morning as he was climbing on the bridge, a random lady says, sir, could you please take my picture? He felt so invisible at that moment. She saw him climbing the bridge, mm-hmm. but she didn't see him and recognize that, wait, what are you doing? So, sir, take my picture. He took the picture and then jumped. And so these people feel invisible already. So asking them, or saying, if you're African-American or Nigerian, because I'm Nigerian, I can claim that, right? What do you mean you want to kill yourself? Hell to the no, we need to pray for you more, or Jesus, you need more Jesus, or why would you say that, or challenging that. It does two things. They're not going to tell you again. And then the second thing is, because you said that, they're going to reaffirm that, yes, I'm invisible. Nobody really loves me, which are the thoughts that come in their heads. I'm not good enough. You see, she just said that to me. I have been suicidal. I have been about to jump myself. So I know what I was thinking. And so, yeah, they're going to be like, well, you know what? I'm in. I tried. And so the way you ask the question is, what happened? Or what's happening? And the energy should be a calming energy. Not, oh my God, what happened? Which is a Nigerian woman or a Hispanic woman with a conga. You know, so you can still ask the same question, but the way you ask it might not get the answer. Oh my goodness. First of all, thank you so much for telling me about this. Thank you so much for feeling that I was worthy to hear you say these words. So what's happening? What is going on? Is there anything I can do to help, which is compassion? Because empathy is what's happening, what's going on. But compassion is, how can I help? Which people don't realize that they think empathy is all thanks to Brené Brown, which is great. But compassion is the big brother of empathy. Compassion adds, how can I help? What can I do to help? Because sometimes they just want you to listen.
Yeah.
They don't want you getting all, okay, let's take you to the doctor right now. Because the statistics show that most people who kill themselves who have been in a hospital environment do it within the first 30 days of leaving the hospital. These are studies that show this. So I have had patients, I had a kid once who literally had fresh rope marks on his neck. His parents opted to not go to the hospital, and I signed off on it because the little guy had been to the hospital before, twice. And still he attempted suicide that day. So not that the hospital doesn't work, but for him in his mind, that was not what was working. Everyone is different.
Yeah.
Before the people say, oh my God, I can't believe she just said no. I'm saying, if you know your child and you know the circumstances around your child, you will know if it's a child that will respond to that kind of environment. Because they go in there and they're not necessarily coming out better sometimes.
Yeah.
And so let us be very careful is all I'm saying as to what you do next, because that's critical.
Got it.
And then, yes, ma'am, go ahead.
So that's the A. The L, what does the L stand for?
And so the L stands for, if you're going to ask any question whatsoever, God gave you two ears to listen and one mouth to ask the question, if you want to look at it that way. But I have two other L's. The other L is lean in, right? Close the space between you and the person. Get comfortable, calm down your energy, and lead from the heart if it makes you feel any better. So three L's, so to say. Listen by leaning in and leading from the heart. So that person says, okay, I've got your attention. Nothing else matters right now. Versus, oh, okay, tell me about it.
Right. Be fully present.
Be fully present and intentional about that. It's very critical moments. I've had a client that was on my podcast who was talking to her sister-in-law, and she put the gun and she pulled the trigger while they were talking. I don't know what was said, but she didn't make it.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I hear so many stories like that. And unfortunately, it leaves the people who are left behind with a whole lot of grief. And it's like you say, there are signs that we have to be tuned into, and we have to take away this fear of speaking up. Otherwise, you know, you'll feel even worse if you don't speak up.
Yes, you'll feel even worse. But you know, well, you know what though? I'm going to tell you this as someone who has looked at, I don't know, maybe at least 500 suicides at this point or more. If someone is truly, truly determined to kill themselves, you might not be able to stop them. And it is crucial that you know that. because of what she said, if you're a suicide loss survivor, you will end up either hating yourself or never forgiving yourself. And of course, suicide loss survivors are very high risk for suicide as well. I want you to know that for some people, they have really crossed to the other side already mentally and in every other way. And you might not necessarily be able to always stop them. It is critical because there's a gentleman, a policeman, I think he's retired now, but the Golden Gate Guardian or Angel or something he's called. Mm. And he's had so many people he's talked down, but he's also not been able to talk down everybody. Mm. There'll be some people who have put all of their business in place. They've taken care of everything and they've made the decision and they're at peace with it. I want you, if you're a suicide loss survivor, to know that it's not everyone who is suicidal that you can fully, completely talk out of it. Yeah. And I'm not, you shouldn't try, but I'm saying if indeed you're not able to, that guilt factor, you will have to come to terms with the fact that maybe that person had kind of made peace with it. I say this because in children, which is the population that I deal with, youth, one of the signs of suicidal ideation or suicidal behavior is giving away their stuff, talking about it, writing about it. But also, one of the ladies that was on my podcast, whose son killed himself, I don't remember, 2017 or something, a while back, she wrote a book called Shattered. I think it's called Shattered Life After My Son's Suicide, something like that. Her name is, I forget her name, but it doesn't matter. The point is, the little guy, I think he was 14 or 17, he had seen the movie Dead Poets Society. Mm. He had asked his father, where do people who kill themselves go? He had asked his mother what the Bible says about suicide. Mm. His poetry teacher noticed that he was writing dark poetry. Mm-hmm. His lacrosse instructor noticed that his mood had changed and he was happier. He was outgoing. He was just happy, which was not his norm. Those four people, none of them spoke to each other, none of them. And also that behavior change was because he had made up his mind. His mood lifted. It's like anything else. If you decide, I'm going to start my business, and you've written a business plan, and you've signed it up or whatever, you know, you're happy because you've made the decision. And so I want people to understand that some people who have made the decision for them, you may not be able to get to them on time. And I want you to be, I literally want to say, this is going to sound, it says it's okay not to be okay on my t-shirt, right? I want you to know that you have to make peace with that, that they are now at peace. And also depends on the circumstances. I had another doctor who was on my podcast whose grandfather had terminal cancer, he had done all the things he wanted to do. And he had a gun. Mm. He had wounds. And so that day, he told his wife, go hang out with your friends. No, go be happy. Don't worry about it. And they came back and he had done what he wanted to do. Mm. And so, you know, I hope people hear my message and not think it's kind of diabolical in some sense. I want you to know that it's the knowledge that I have and it's a fact. And you can do what you want to do with the information, but my job is to give it to you.
Yeah, I love it. I think the real talk is absolutely what we need. And so the K in talk is about keeping the lines of communication open.
Wide open. Hmm. Wide open. Keep communication lines wide open. And I like to add, as you get them, effective help. I use the word effective because I know for many people, when they hear the word suicide or suicidality, suicidal ideation, they literally first think depression. That's what they think. And while depression does play a role, like my TED Talk says, in a child who is being, I'm going to use the word, sexually molested or sexually assaulted or being bullied at school, the level of depression that they have is reactive to, secondary to because of, right? And so what you need more than, yeah, take some pills, further, quote unquote, victimizing the person, because that's what happened with me. I can only own my story, right? The truth about this child is being bullied incessantly at school. And if you lift the bullying, like literally intentionally stop the source of aggravation, the bear in the house, as you know, when you have one bear, is a flight or fright or fight once. When you have a bear every single day, 10 bears every single day, it becomes a state of mind for that child. Yeah. They want out. And so I need you to hear me when I say every case must be taken very deliberately. Find out what is happening, which is why the question is not why, it's what's happening.
Yes. And or what happened. Child, yeah.
Or what happened. Yes, ma'am. Both. Yes, ma'am. Both of them. But I want you to use the what's happening, what happened phrase, because that right away takes the focus from you to them. Why puts the focus on you?
Right.
Believe it or not. Why means, why are you doing this to me? Finish up that sentence. Why are you thinking this? Because you have all of these. Why means takes it away from them. What happened is focused on them. And maybe, just maybe, if we can take care of, maybe stop the school, find out the neighbor or the nanny or whoever is the aggravator in that case, then we can save at least 80% of suicides. I say 80% because nothing is 100%. And that number I created, I don't know the real number.
Yeah.
And I say that because the second group of people that I like to coach is parents of LGBTQ youth, specifically because as a pediatrician, I know it's not a choice for many, too many children who are LGBTQ youth are not by choice. I just want to be gay so that I can be haunted, H-U-N, haunted, H-A-U-N, right? By a society that thinks homophobia is so okay, that the children have no place. They can't tell anyone. And so what do? They jump.
Yep.
And so LGBTQ youth have the highest rate of suicide amongst youth. I want you to ask yourself why. This is the time to ask yourself why. Why do you think that is so? And then people don't know this, but lack of validation, what I like to call valley freakingdation from a parent, is the number one and most important risk factor for child suicide. You don't have to believe me, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Your voice, your love, your validation, your presence, your intentionality is the most critical thing to your child, even if they don't show you, even if you think it's their friends. I don't know how much to say it.
Right, it's so true.
It's not the teachers. It's you, dear parent. It's you. And so if you take that focus away from you, what will my friends say? What will my church say? What? All of that is about you. Your child needs you to support them. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Because when you were a teenager and you wanted to wear knickerbockers or have shaved hair or blue hair or whatever hair, you felt the same way about your parents. They're like, what do you mean you're going around with blue hair? They're making it about themselves. Think about it. Just take a moment and say, what if I am right? That's what I'm asking you to say.
Yeah. I love it. And I love that in your TED Talk, you're telling people that the three words you want them to focus on is trauma, trauma, and trauma. If someone comes up and they're depressed or they're showing, you know, suicidal signs, you need to be thinking about trauma. And not enough people do, because they think, you've got this perfect home or you've always been a good student. But it's the stuff that is hiding underneath. And you've lived this. It's the traumas that we don't talk about, that we are too ashamed to talk about, that we hide, that end up killing us, like literally.
That's why I said that all the ghosts of my traumas past were chasing me down the highway, the molestation, the rape, the domestic abuse, there's the racism, the inequality, sexism. I mean, colorism, all of those things are trauma, high trauma.
Yeah.
You know, being a divorced mother of three Black boys in America, in today's world,
yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so when you say things like, you know, I can't believe you did that, or, you know, you're not thinking that my signs of depression have a root. And when I was depressed myself, the doctor was very happy to change my antidepressant class 3 times and increase the dose 3 times. Ever before, they said, well, you were a very functional commander in the US Air Force. Mm-hmm. You were a functional pediatrician. What happened? That question wasn't asked of me either. And then today, I don't have depression. I stopped taking my medication because I knew I felt nothing. I had a flat affect. Now, that's different from feeling better. You see, that's what I'm saying. So for those who need your antidepressants, please, by all means, take it. But I'm saying to you, when it comes to children, it is beyond critical that you ask yourself, what happened to the 18-month-old, the 8-year-old, who is now this 18-year-old who is suicidal?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for screaming it from the rooftops, from the stages, from the microphone. Dr. Lulu, I appreciate the work that you're doing in the world, and I do believe that you are helping to save lives. I have put in this video description links to all of your social media platforms, but you can check out Dr. Lulu's work at teenalive.com. She is also on YouTube, Ask Dr. Lulu, and Facebook and Instagram as well. Thank you so much for spending this time and sharing your own story and your own passion for helping save lives in this world. Thank you.
The pleasure is all mine. The pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you and the work that you do too. And I've listened to your story. We kind of parallel each other pretty much.
Yep, exactly. That's why we're here.
Yes, ma'am. And I think most importantly, thank you for speaking about the over-reliance on antidepressants. And I can't say that enough, because I think we're in a world where we're very quick to go there.
Yeah.
Everyone is very quick to go there. And sometimes you have to listen to the voice of dissent.
Yeah.
You know, it's groupthink at this point. Psychiatrists, pediatricians, doctors, moms, we're all so quick to go, give me some more antidepressants. And honestly, what you're doing is you're silencing that child, and you're not allowing the child to tell you what happened. I mean, if you check it and you find out that this is indeed just depression, just like that, okay, great. But I need you to ask yourself, what if there's something else?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I can't say that enough, but thank you for the opportunity. Thank you so much for having me. I really, truly appreciate it. And if you guys want to read a book about youth suicide, grab my book. It's called 18's Life, and it chronicles 13 fictitious teenagers who are struggling with life's lemons and trying to make the best lemonade that they can. It's called 18's Life, and it's on Amazon. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So there you have it, my friend. Please check out Dr. Lulu's website and her book on Amazon. This is an important conversation that we need to be having. If you want to find out your ACE score, the Adverse Childhood Experience score, it's totally free. Visit innatevitality.com and find out your score. Because if there are some traumas that you have not yet processed, that may have you overreactive and more anxious than usual, or may have you depressed or even suicidal, then it's time for you to get that help that you need. You'll also find the phone numbers to the suicide hotline. Just visit innatevitality.com. Until we meet again, my friend, please know that you truly are a blessing in the world. You are a gift to the world. So share your presence with passion. Much love. to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.